Today.
Doing good.
Well, praise the Lord. You sound like you're doing wonderful. For just a few minutes, we're going to talk about something that has continued to really impact my life. What was the Vacation Bible School about last week?
Jesus.
Jesus as who? Who was Jesus represented as?
Shepherd.
The Good Shepherd. And all week long, since Vacation Bible School has been over, that has really, really, really continued to speak to my heart. And that's been a part of my devotion throughout this week. And so as I prayed about what to share for the children's story, I'd actually had another story in mind that I'd heard weeks ago, maybe even over a month ago. But the Lord put this on my mind this morning, especially as we're preparing for our communion service. There's something that I think is so important for you all to learn while you're still young. Because if you learn these lessons while you're young and you carry them into adulthood, you won't have some of the same struggles that we have as adults today. Many of us as adults, we struggle with different things in our lives spiritually because there's some things that we just didn't quite get when we were your age. And so I want you all to get, okay? So just a few little points about the shepherds of the Bible, but Jesus as the good shepherd. The good shepherd, the story of the good shepherd in the Bible teaches us the value of one. In other words, it really shows us how much God values one. One, in the Bible, the good shepherd valued one sheep. And Jesus values one soul. He values each of our lives individually. How do we see that in the story of the Good Shepherd? First of all, the shepherd is willing to go in search of one sheep. No matter how many other sheep he has, he's willing to go in search of just that one little lost sheep. And in the same way, Jesus would have died for just one of you. Do you realize that? If you took away everybody else that is sitting here and you left just one individual, and that one individual was you, do you know that Jesus would have died just for you? We need to make sure we understand that. We ask Jesus to help us to get it. The other lesson that we learn from the story of the Good Shepherd is that when the sheep is separated from the shepherd, the sheep is completely helpless. The sheep cannot find its way back to the good shepherd or back to the fold, to the rest of the sheep. And in the same way, when we are separated from Jesus, whether we've never known him or whether we have known him, but we've wandered away from him, we are completely lost. Divine love, Jesus, the love of Jesus, comes in search of us. If he does not come to rescue us, we could never, ever, ever find our way to God. Do you realize that? If Jesus doesn't come to find us, we will never find him. The other lesson that the story of the Good Shepherd teaches us is that the shepherd does not consider it too much trouble to take time to find us or to find a sheep, no matter how deep that sheep is, no matter how far away that sheep is lost or how stuck that sheep is. The shepherd does not find it too much trouble to go in search of the sheep. And I want to apologize to you all. If in any way, if I personally or if any of us as adults have given you all the impression that you are too much trouble for Jesus, I really want to apologize to you all, because you are not too much trouble for Jesus. Jesus does not find it too much trouble to come and find you are. No matter what the sins are in your life or in my life, no matter how much you find yourself doing the same thing over and over again, no matter how stuck you may be with sin in your life, no matter what that sin is, Jesus does not find it too much trouble to come and find you. And when he does, do you know he doesn't just lead us and we follow him. He picks us up in his arms. You see how beautifully Jesus is holding the shepherd so tenderly, so compassionately. He doesn't find it too much trouble to pick us up in his arms and to hold us close and to lead us back to the rest of the body, to the body of Christ. And then one more point. The shepherd does not give up on the sheep or even just wait for the sheep to come back. The shepherd could say, oh, you know, I have all these other sheep. Why bother? He doesn't say that. The shepherd first, he secures the sheep. He makes sure that the other sheep are protected. He doesn't just leave them vulnerable to the wolves and the bears and the enemies. He makes sure that they're secure and they're protected before he goes and finds that other sheep. But he does go and find the sheep. And he goes and looks for the sheep with the ideal that there's no doubt that he will find them and bring them back home. And do you know that that's what Jesus does for us? Jesus, again, knows that we can never, ever find our way back to him without his help. So in love, not scolding, not condemnation, Jesus makes the first step. And do you know Jesus keeps making the first step and the next and the next and the next until he helps us to see that we can trust him and that he will care for us and protect us. And then when Jesus finds us wherever we are, no matter, again, how deep in sin we are, Jesus lovingly, tenderly brings us back to the rest of the fold. You know, Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross and he said, I love you this much and I want to live with you today and today and today forever. How many of you want to live with Jesus forever? How many of you are willing to be found by Jesus, the Good Shepherd? How many are willing to be led home, to be delivered from sin and from self and from Satan? Do you really believe that Jesus can do it? Okay, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for being the Good Shepherd. And thank you for these precious, precious little ones. Thank you for how attentively they listened and I believe have taken to heart the message of this story, your message of love. Lord, I pray not only for the little ones, but for the big ones as well. That's all of us. That we will recognize that as your sheep, there is nothing that we can do to find our way back to you. Help us to quit striving in our own nothingness. Help us to quit letting the enemy beat us up, trying to make us believe that we're not good enough and we haven't done enough. Help us to recognize those lies as lies of the devil. And help us simply to understand that you call us simply to let you find us and let you bring us home. We're told that if we will be found, then we will. In other words, it's a promise that if we let you search us out, that you will find us and you will save us. Thank you for your sacrifice for us on Calvary's cross. Keep us, Lord, by your grace. Help us as we enter into the communion service. May it not just be a form, but may we enter in with our whole heart. May we allow you to do in us what is necessary to save us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, now the time has come for the baby dedication that we have planned for this morning. And the baby's name is Asimwe. And I know that the parents have had children dedicated before here. I'm not very good at names, but I understand Baba Kure and Joyce, right? So I'd like to invite you to come forward, and I think Thierry will come up here to translate for you as well. So come up here, and we have one child that will be dedicated, correct? Because I've already dedicated the other child. And so this is Jonathan. And Asimia Jonathan is the name. And so, you know, I have a little handout, something that I will give you afterwards. Are you going to be translated for them?
Hari akagapapuro ari buze kubane turangiza kwakira umwana.
It includes a commitment to raise your child to the Lord.
Akubiyemo ibyemezo muri umufashe byo kwa mwerekeje ubuzima bw'umwana ku mana.
And I want to encourage Thierry to translate it for you afterwards. It's in English.
Araza kunsaba kunza kuyosobanura byose nyuma y'igahunda.
You know, Jesus says, let the children come to me.
Yesu aravuga ati murika abana bansange.
And because these belong to my kingdom.
Kuko abana ari bagene ubwami bwanjye.
Before they know right from wrong, they belong to God's kingdom.
Mbere yuko bamenye icyiza n'ikibi baba bari abana b'Imana.
But the time will come when they make their own decisions in terms of, on the basis of knowledge, on the basis of Christ's call.
Ariko igihe kizagera bakure bajye bafata ibyemezo byabo bitewe n'ubumenyi bafite bitewe n'umuhamagaro Yesu azaba abashaka.
And our hope and prayer is that at that time they will have a solid, they have been anchored in the Word of God and in truth because of their parents.
Kandi icyifuzo cyacu nuko icyo gihe nikigera cyabo cyo gufata icyemezo bazajya bafata ibyemezo bishikamye kubera ko bakurijwe n'ababyeyi bizera Imana.
And so it's my prayer that Jonathan's values, that his attitude towards the scriptures, towards prayer, and all these things will be affected by what he sees in his parents.
Ndasenga ko ibyemezo umwana azajya afata uko azajya asenga uko azakura byose bizajya bituruka kuko amwamureze n'imico ababonanye.
And I'm so thankful that you have made this decision to bring them to Jesus. You know, sometimes parents can stand in the way of your children seeing Jesus.
Kandi ndanabashimira icyemezo mwafashe cyo kuzana uyu mwana imbere y'Imana, kuko rimwe na rimwe ababyeyi bajya bajya hagati y'umwana na Yesu bagatuma umwana atagirana umushyikirano n'Imana.
And may that the decision that you have made to come here today, may that be a daily decision to bring your child to Jesus.
Kandi ndifuza ko icyemezo mwafashe kitaba cy'uyu munsi gusa, ahubwo kiba ikintu gihoraho cyo guhora mwegereza abana Imana.
And so I'm going to take your child and
we're going to kneel and pray together.
Araza guterura umwana hanyuma dupfukame dusenge.
Dear loving Heavenly Father,
Mana yacu idukunda,
we're thankful for this child that you have brought into this world.
Turagushimira kuko uyu mwana wemeye ko aza kuri ino si.
We're thankful that there are parents here that are dedicated to serving you.
Turashimira cyane bw'ababyeyi nabo biyemeje kugira ngo bajye bakora umurimo wawe.
I pray that you will give each of his parents wisdom.
Ndagusabye ngo buri umwe muri ababyeyi umuhe ubwenge.
That what Jonathan sees, that what he hears will be inspiring him to serve you.
Kugira ngo ibyo umwana Jonathan azajya abona bizatume yifuza kugukorera.
I pray that he will be able to follow his parents' example and serve you with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul, with all his strength.
Ndasenga ngo azakure akurikiza urugero rw'ababyeyi mu mitekerereze n'imikorere ye mu buzima bwe bwose.
Protect him from those things that can distract him from you.
Umurinde ibintu byose bizamurangaza.
I pray that the home will be a home where the that is centered not around the television but around your word.
Ndasenga ngo urugo rwabo umwana azakuriramo ruzaba urugo rukureba wowe rutitaye ku bya television n'ibindi.
And I pray that for every family represented here, Father.
Ibyo ndabisengera kubw'umuryango imiryango yose iri hano.
And may you be honored and glorified through the way this child is raised.
Kandi icyo tuzakiza kuko cyose kugira ngo umwana akuze kizaba ari cyo guhesha izina ryawe icyubahiro.
And pray that the Holy Spirit will be present in the hearts of his parents.
Kandi ndasaba ngo umwuka wera azabane n'ababyeyi.
I pray that the holy angels will guard the home.
Kandi abamarayika bawe barinzi bazarinde urugo rwabo.
That it will be a haven.
Kugira ngo urugo rwabo ruzabe ari nk'ijuru.
Of rest.
Kandi ahantu ho kuruhukira.
Protecting the child from the world around.
Kandi ahantu hazarinda umwana ibidusengurutse.
In Christ's name, amen.
Mu izina rya Yesu, amen.
Good morning, church family. It's time for the morning prayer of this divine service. If you have blue cards, please bring them forward. Fathers, the sun is shining outside, and we pray that each one here is shining within of your love. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you watched over us during the week, whether we are at home or at work or some other place where we're doing errands. Thank you, Lord, for watching us, keeping us safe from harm and danger. And we want to lift up our praises to you. Heavenly Father, there are those here we haven't seen in a while, members that have been away. Be with them. There are those that are sick. Watch over them. Put your loving hand upon them. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as we continue to walk upward and onward, we pray that we grow stronger and stronger in our spiritual walk. Let each one here study their Sabbath school lesson and be more familiar with the Scriptures, listening to what is said on here on the platform. Because there'll come a day we will have to answer pointed questions, and we have to give the right answers. Heavenly Father, I hold in my hand prayer requests, and I lift them up at this time. We pray that whatever the case may be, we set these before you, and all will be well in your name. Heavenly Father, we seek thy blessings this day. Be with us now. This we ask in the loving name of Jesus. Amen.
How many here have been to Broken Arrow Ranch for camp? Raise your hands. Okay, there's a few. I would expect more than that, but I've even been there. My children have been there. It was actually provided for the Kansas-Nebraska Conference in 1970. I didn't realize it was that old. And it's a place, a safe place, where there can be ministry about Jesus. There's camps for young people. It's a safe environment away from the... Sometimes the children come and they come from homes where there's not a lot of peace and quiet. And out there among nature, they can learn of Jesus. It's used with church retreats, school functions. I know that every spring there is a camp that the young people go to, and they learn about nature. They learn about kind of how to camp and what to eat out in nature. And I remember when my kids went there, and they enjoyed that, and they do that every spring. So our offering this week is going for that. And interestingly enough, it says that 70% of the individuals who made a decision at camp to give their lives to Jesus between the age of 9 and 14 have remained committed Christians throughout their lives. So the decisions they make there have a great impact on their lives. So many people there are now are sending grandchildren who've been children who have gone to camp. And so that's what our offering will be going for this week. If the deacons would come forward at this time to take up the offering. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us that we can return to you of what is yours. I pray that the offering for the camp will go, and may the young people see you there. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, you're all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid.
Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made? Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control?
This morning's scripture is taken from Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Through the years, I've noticed that communion and the foot washing services tend to be somewhat poorly attended. In fact, when I'm done with my sermon on any given communion Sabbath, and we dispatch for the foot washing, a percentage of us head for the exit. That has been my experience in many different churches. We're ready to go home. The service is not over, but we're ready to go home. There are others that don't come to a communion service at all. They don't come to the Sabbath service on that day. But many that do come, they leave before the communion begins. And why is that? Well, the Bible attaches great importance to the Lord's Supper, or communion, as we call it, as well as to the foot washing service, which we refer to as the ordinance of humility. After all, these ordinances were instituted by Jesus Christ himself, a constant reminder of his blood shed for our sins and for the need to be closely attached to him, that we may experience eternal life. And even though this is such an important institution, it's such an important ordinance, communion, a number of Seventh-day Adventists prefer to stay home that day or prefer to stay away when the time comes for the communion. Now, there may be a number of reasons for that on any given communion Sabbath. There may be a number of reasons why people are not participating. John was a deacon in one of my churches. And he didn't actually leave church after the communion Sabbath sermon. He didn't leave church. After all, he was a deacon. He stayed. But he always refused to take the bread and the juice. There was no glaring open sin in his life. But when I asked him why, he said, and this happened over some time until I finally had a conversation where he understood what he was doing and what he didn't have to do. He said, I just don't feel worthy. I just don't feel worthy. And he justified it with a Bible text. The Bible text that says, and this is 1 Corinthians 11:27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And, you know, I've discovered that that's the reason many have for not participating. a sense of not feeling worthy. And so we recognize our sinfulness. We are frightened by the strong words of Paul. And therefore, like my deacon, John, we don't participate, or maybe we skip the service altogether. We just don't feel comfortable being part of it because we don't feel worthy. Now, when we read the New Testament, it's easy to notice that there is a category of people who are not worthy to take part in the Lord's Supper, in what we call communion. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29, that such a person eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, he's talking about someone who is not taking his participation seriously, and maybe even might be ignorant as to what it means, to the real significance of it. And so the question becomes, who are these unworthy people? And that's a fair question. So let's see if we can get a clear answer to that question. The Gospel of Luke mentions that Judas Iscariot not only participated in the foot washing, but he also participated in the Lord's Supper. And it says that Jesus took a cup in his hands, and he talked about the new covenant being sealed by the shedding of his blood. Now, that's communion language. And in the next moment, Jesus also said, "But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table." Behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. Now here's how the spirit of prophecy describes this event. It says, Judas, this is from the Desire Ages, Judas, the betrayer, was present at the sacramental service. He received from Jesus the emblems of his broken body and his spilled blood. He heard the words, "This do in remembrance of me." So Jesus Christ himself allowed the one who betrayed him to take part in this most solemn occasion, this event where he introduced these holy ordinances to his followers: communion, foot washing. Now, he did not consider Judas to be unworthy to the point of preventing him from participating in communion. On the contrary, Jesus allowed him to take part, not only for the sake of the other apostles or the other disciples, but because he loved Judas and wished to save him. It says in the book, The Desire Ages, again, on page 655, it says, After Judas, had twice covenanted to betray his Lord, Jesus still gave him opportunity for repentance. This is very significant. It's very clear to me that God's love and tender mercy go far beyond human comprehension, far beyond human explanation, far beyond our understanding. Now, here's the thing. As in the case with Judas, not every sinner accepts the love of the Savior. Being next to the Savior does not necessarily mean being in a close relationship to him. That's clearly indicated by the fact that Judas was sitting next to Jesus, and yet he was not in a close relationship to him. You can be physically present at communion, at this communion service coming up, and at the same time be far away in the schemes of darkness of this world. Judas Iscariot was in the very center of the company of the Lamb of God, but according to the book, The Desire Ages, which I'm quoting from, he brooded upon his own dark purposes and cherished his sullen, revengeful thoughts. So your mind can be somewhere else. So there was sin in Judas's life that he refused to repent of. And therefore, he eliminated himself from the blessing of forgiveness and from the blessings of of new life. He eliminated himself. Christ did not eliminate him. He eliminated himself. You see, open, unrepented sin does several things. Number one, it separates the guilty from God by choice. They are separated from God. And 1 Corinthians 5:11 tells us that unrepented open sin separates the guilty from the church as well, from the community of believers. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, that the unrepentant sinner who participates in communion will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord, he says. But this is not the main point that Paul is addressing to the Corinthian church, and that's the encouraging thing to me. Paul's recommendation was that each person in the church should partake of the Lord's Supper after self-examination and after grasping what the symbols actually mean. Now, he wished that the example of Judas would not be repeated in the church, that it would not be repeated in the local churches where communion would be celebrated. Paul wanted the church to be reminded of the fact that when God's people are in his presence, and when they participate in his holy ordinances, including the foot washing service and the communion service, then they should all be feeling unworthy. They should all be feeling unworthy. And why? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? There is only one who can stand worthy before God, and that's Jesus Christ, who overcame sin. He was sinless. You know, at the same time, God's amazing grace allows human beings to enter the holiest, Paul says, by the blood of Jesus. So the point that Paul makes here is not that people should abstain from the Lord's Supper, but rather that they should examine themselves. And he declares in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." There is no excuse for not participating in the communion. Paul did not try to discourage anyone from participating. Not at all. He was trying to encourage responsible participation. He wanted all of us to meditate on Christ's sacrifice, that this meditation on his sacrifice might astonish us into a state of repentance, that God's love would drive us to repentance and from there into a changed life. Amen? Now, on the screen now, you will see a strong, straightforward message from the Spirit of Prophecy regarding participating in the communion service. Christ's example, it says, forbids exclusiveness at the Lord's Supper. That's why in the Seventh-day Adventist Church we practice open communion. Whether you are a member or not a member of this church, you have just as much access to communion as anyone else. Christ forbids exclusiveness. His example forbids exclusiveness at the Lord's Supper. And when she said that, she had in mind Judas. So, you know, in fact, she gives the same book, Counsels for the Church. It gives a reason in the very same paragraph why. It's because God only is the judge. God has not left it with man to say who shall present themselves on these occasions. For who can read the heart? Who can distinguish the tares from the wheat? This is Counsels for the Church, page 298. A little further down, the servant of the Lord even points us that no one should exclude himself or herself from the Lord's Supper because they think that someone else sitting down the pew is unworthy to take the Lord's Supper. You see, worthiness to participate in the Lord's Supper does not come from being sinless. Nor does it come because of your achievements. Rather, it comes from a desire to be sinless. Your worthiness comes from having the faith of a sinner in the complete redemption provided by Jesus Christ. In other words, the ordinances of the foot washing and the Lord's Supper are for sinners who love their gracious Lord and want to follow Him. Do you love your gracious Lord? Do you want to follow Him? Then don't miss these ordinances, because they are for you. And so, with that in mind, I'm going to invite every single one of you at this time to participate in the ordinance of humility. Now, you can come, and if you haven't done it before and you'd like to see what's happening, you come and just be a spectator and participate that way. And then maybe join in another time. But you're also welcome to participate in it as we wash one another's feet, symbolically representing how we want unity among ourselves, you know, one to another, that we will reconcile one with another, as well as reconcile to the fact that we are humble before God because He's our Creator and we are creatures. We are all in the same boat, sinners saved by grace in Christ Jesus. Amen? So let us now go to the various rooms. Fellowship hall, that's where the women are. The music room, just follow the men to the music room. And couples will be in our church library. And so we'll come back here afterwards for our communion service. And I will encourage you strongly not to leave, but to stay behind and participate in these beautiful services. May God bless each of you. When we come back, let's please sit on every second row, starting from the front. Thank you. We will be singing a song together, number 198, verses 1 and 4. Before we begin the reading of the scriptures and taking part in the emblems, I just want to share with you a couple of things. First of all, in between, while the emblems are being passed out, we will be taking testimonies pertaining to what this is about, Christ's sacrifice, our relationship to Him, a recent testimony that you get a chance to share twice during this service. We have an opportunity to share testimonies. And also, I want to mention now that after the service, we will take up an offering for the poor and the needy at the door. As we begin, Brian will read a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24, and then he will lead us in prayer. And I would invite as many of you as can to kneel with us when that time comes to pray. Yes, Brian.
1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24 states, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this do in remembrance of me." Let us kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you on our knees as a broken race, a race in need of your loving care, in need of your blood, in need of your body broken. Lord, as we are here to partake of your body, Lord, may we symbolically fall upon you and surrender all that we have on your altar. Lord, we need to recognize you as our shepherd, that you gave your life for us on the cross. Lord Jesus, May you bless this symbol of your body, that we will truly take it as it is intended. For Lord, you have offered it, and it is there for the taking. Lord, may we realize what you have done for us, that you will come again and receive those who have received you.
Amen.
In your name, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
In case you are have an allergy to gluten, in the middle you'll find gluten-free bread, right in the middle. Is there anyone here that has a testimony to bear? Yes, please. Yes. We need to have the microphones going down. Yeah, very good.
At the beginning of this year, I made a commitment to start reading my Bible through.
Amen.
And I've tried to do this several times, and I've never gotten very far because it's way over my head. You know, I don't claim to know much, but I put forth a strong effort this year, and I'm halfway through now.
Amen.
And, you know, there's a lot that I don't understand, but God is helping me to grow, and I'm grateful for that.
Amen.
And that He's put people in my life that have helped me to stay caught up.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that testimony. Anyone else that has something to share about what Christ is doing in your life? Or yes, there's a hand over there to my right.
I have felt blessed. I have started reading through extra things that I haven't read before, and I've started writing through the testimonies, and I've been learning a lot, the testimonies to the churches, and it's been a real blessing for my spiritual life.
Amen. I hope many of you take advantage of that. It's going to be a blessing to all of us, and blessing to the church. Yes, there's one hand in the back. Carolyn.
Yes, this year has been a year of transitions for me. My health is not good. I had to move into a nursing home, which has been a big transition for me. But I fought it and just got kind of bitter. I'm the youngest one in the area I'm living in. And I fought it, and then I decided, wait a minute, I prayed about it, and God told me He could use me there. And so I turned it around and started helping people that live there and testifying. And my whole life is turned around. I still am adjusting, but I've got God now. And helping the people that are there that are worse off than me and need my testimony and need my help has really altered things with me.
Amen. I look forward to the rest of you and with all of us hearing the complete testimony Carolyn has to bear, because she has gone through a traumatic transition, and yet she's not been saying, poor me. She's been looking for how she can help others. And others have been so blessed because of her testimony. Amen. Thank you for sharing, and we'll be able to share more in a little bit. Jesus said, take this bread, do this, eat this in remembrance of me. At this time, Dan Tierney, another of our elders, will be leading us in reading the next two verses from 1 Corinthians 11. And then we'll, as many as can, kneel afterwards for prayer.
Verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Have kneel, please. Father, we thank you for this fruit of the vine that you have given us to remind us that you are the vine and that we are the branches and that everything we have comes from you. We thank you for this emblem of your blood that was shed to pay for our sins, that was shed and sprinkled on the mercy seat, that we might have mercy and that we might be forgiven. We thank you, Lord, and pray that you would bless us now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Is there anyone else that has a testimony? The microphones will come around. And just raise your hand so we can see if you have a testimony to bear, if you have been blessed, if you have a praise or thanksgiving or something to share that can be. There's a hand over there. Esther, thank you. And then Veronica, I think I saw another hand. Yes.
God's watch care over my life has always impressed me with his love to me. Yesterday morning I got up and I had my devotions and everything was planned out for the rest of the day, and My phone gives me a verse a day that's a special verse. And the verse yesterday morning was, "He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him." And I was thinking, I wonder if this is going to somehow be applicable to my life today, because a lot of times God works it out that the verse of the morning is exactly what I need sometime during the day. Well, we started to go to my mom's house in the morning, and my car broke down when we were almost there, but we were still on the highway. And I didn't panic. I was just like, okay, well, we need to get out of the car like the firemen told us we were supposed to do when we went to the firehouse with Eager Beavers. They said, get away from the car. Just in case somebody hits the car, you won't be injured. So we got out of the car. Plus, it was very hot. We got out of the car, the kids and our dog and I, and we walked down the hill away from the highway. And we were sitting there, and the kids were pretty worried. And I said, it's okay. Jesus is going to protect us. It's totally fine. Grandma's on her way. We're going to be okay. And then the verse came back to my mind that God was going to keep me in perfect peace that day. And throughout the day, Mom did come and get us, and everything worked out just fine. But there was a lot of stressful things that happened that particular day because of our car breaking down, because we're about to go on a trip to North Carolina, and that's the car we were supposed to take. But you know what? All day I just kept thinking, God has it already planned out. I'm just going to wait and see what he's going to do. And that was just so much of a blessing to me.
Amen. And then we have one more, Veronica.
I want to praise God for his faithfulness, and how he has just been taking old truths, eternal truths, and just making them fresh to me personally, and just reviving my soul by them. And then also just the encouragements that he gives in ministry. I feel indebted to God for his call to serve, because I recognize that his call to serve is not about simply me giving to others, but it's what he's doing in my life through those that he allows me to serve. And a couple of blessings this week and they don't even realize the extent to which I've been greatly blessed by it. It was just two visits in a couple of homes this week. Both homes I went to yesterday evening, just to visit for a few moments, at Clem and Genevieve's house. And when I got there, they were preparing, they were gathering the family, and they were going to be having evening worship. And the blessing was, they weren't having evening worship because I had come. They had already planned to have evening worship. They'd been doing this in their home for, I know, the last several weeks they've been doing this. And Genevieve asked if I would stay for that. And I was just really, really blessed that that's something that they're initiating in their own home. And then I was also blessed, I'd gone by before then into Jack and Angelani's home. And that was earlier, and they hadn't gotten home yet. But I have this growing love and appreciation for just spending time with their children. And just to watch these young children, who the love that these young people have for the Lord, they are bold for Jesus, to share Jesus in their neighborhood, in school. And so just to see how that love has been instilled in these young people, and they love Jesus. And then they love helping in their home. And so I was really encouraged by that. So I just praise God again for ministry and just for the opportunities that he gives to see how he's blessing families in their home.
Jesus said, "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I want to invite you to join me now as we sing our closing song. As we sing our closing song, which is number 412, I want to remind you that we do have an offering at the door afterwards. As you have been blessed, we invite you to bless others by helping those that are less fortunate, that need funds, that need our blessing. And so again, let's sing number 412, our closing song, just like the disciples were singing songs after they left the upper room. Let us also sing these songs, and let's follow Jesus. You may remember that after communion, after the Lord's Supper, Jesus went into the garden, and he struggled, and he had experienced an immense pain, emotional pain, and suffering for our sake. And we have been asked to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. So as we sing this song, may we just remember that we are to leave this place and pick up our own cross and follow him and live for him. As I said before, we are not sinless, but it is our desire to be sinless, to follow Jesus wherever he leads. So let's sing number 412, Cover with His Life, and after that we will then pray and then leave. May God bless each of you. Number 412. Let's stand.